We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My precious time. Get your act together. We could be just fine.
Oh, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Welcome to The Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sanson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sanson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
I look like such a giant next to you.
I'm also very slouchy.
You're a tiny person.
I'm shorter than you, and I'm slouchier than you.
Tiny Liz, big world. Also, I have a giant coconut.
Oh, your butt?
My head.
Oh.
But thank you for thinking I meant butt. It's affirming.
I also have a small head.
Oh.
I have to wear kids' hats.
I have to wear, like, the largest size hats they have. Like, when somebody hands me a hat, there's a good chance it's not going to fit my head. My grandma said it was because I got a lot of brains. That's how she would say it. She just has a lot of brains, my German grandma.
Big noodle.
Big noodle, small world.
Have we talked about, have I told you on the podcast about my 5-panel hat girl theory?
You know what? We talked about it not recording.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to share my 5-panel hat theory with the listeners. For some background, I was telling Amelia about a woman who has a little bit of an annoying personality. And Amelia was like, can I guess what she looks like? And then I was like, sure. And she's like, I feel like she wears a 5-panel hat. And she doesn't. But then the more I thought about it, I explained to Mr. Liz, like, what you had said. And I was like, because girls who wear 5-panel hats are either, like, the coolest fucking girl ever or, like, the worst, most annoying pick-me girl, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no way to tell the difference because they both look good in 5-panel hats.
Totally.
So.
Damn, yeah, that's some, like, camouflage.
And he started cracking up because he's like, that's so true. You know, he's Mr. Outdoor Pacific Northwest, so he, like, meets a lot of women who wear 5-panel hats.
Right. I was just about to say, I feel like I know 2 women, and not even personally. I, like, know of 2 women, like, No Name's girlfriend. She wears 5-panel hats, like, exclusively, and she seems like a pretty cool chick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But how are we supposed to know? Because, like you said, everybody looks cool in them.
It's just such a gamble.
It really is.
Because, yeah, you got your pick me 5-panel hat girl, and then you got just, like, your fucking cool, laid back, down for whatever 5-panel hat girl.
Damn.
And the cool 5-panel hat girl, always a girl's girl.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, the male equivalent of that is?
Ooh, that is a really good question. It could also be 5-panel hats, but I feel like 5-panel hats are just, like, so predictable on Pacific Northwest men.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I know. I'm trying to
think.
You
know what?
I think
thigh tattoos.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great answer.
They're either, like, it's like a fucking douche undercover or like just a really great guy.
Damn. That's so true. That's so true. Frank has thigh tattoos, and I think it's so sexy.
I love a good thigh tattoo.
Oh my god, me too. Mr. Liz
has some, and I'm like, hey,
can I even up pants somewhere? I'm doing things.
Honestly, his thigh tattoos make me want thigh tattoos.
Well, you have a little guy on your knee.
I have this little guy.
I don't like my legs enough to get thigh tattoos.
I copied his placement.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that he had tattoos on his legs.
He has one on his thigh, and I was like, I like that placement, but I'm not copying you.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I put this little stick and poke here? And he's like, yeah, it is a good spot.
It is. I mean, we only have so much body to put tattoos on, you know?
It's a good little, when
you find a good spot, you gotta snatch it on up.
Exactly.
I got two new tattoos. Hello. I guess I got three new tattoos.
You're getting yatted.
I really am. I got one for a bit. I got a 7 because my brother told me to.
Those are the best tattoos. Yeah. The ones that are bits.
Yeah. And then I got a little sun for my middle name means morning star. So I got a little sun.
That is a morning star.
That is the morning star. And then I got what would you even call it? Like an abstract line drawing of a woman's body.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love women. And they're for no other reason other than that.
Yeah.
I just think women are dope. Perfect.
Me too.
Like,
I mean, they are.
Yeah. Like every
for a dollar, name a woman.
I love that mom. So much. Yeah. I think if Billy Eichner came running up to me on the street, my brain would go completely empty. Like, yeah.
Because you're like, I want to talk to you. I'm so excited. Name a woman. Me.
Yeah. I probably would just say me. Me and Liz went out this weekend.
Yeah.
Speaking
we did.
Of which.
Frank made us dinner.
Oh my God. It was so fucking good.
I met his best friend who,
she's so dope.
I adore her.
She's just the easiest person to be around.
Yeah. And she's one of those people that I was like, well, because Amelia and Frank were like, we think you guys are going to like really love each other and hit it off. And when I met her and we did, I was like, but she could get along with anybody. You know?
Yeah, but she also doesn't like everybody.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like,
that's true.
And she really, really loved you. Right when we walked away
so much to me.
When we parted ways, she was like, I love her. You guys were so right.
I was like riding a high. I was like, I met a new person and we got along so well. That's such a good feeling.
Yeah, you guys know? Were talking just the two of you like a lot of the night. I love that shit. I love seeing new friendships, man.
When you're just like, that is such a like a rare high too of like making a friend.
Oh my God.
You know,
especially
when you
as
meet
an
someone
adult.
You're like, we're going to be friends.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
I love that.
And Mr. Frank. Frank is like such an amazing host too. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing host when he came here. he like brought his own glasses and made us cosmos.
He's such a special guy.
And the food was amazing too.
Oh, he's this an man unreal was chef.
He was in the kitchen for 4 hours making Persian food.
I got
and
there,
it was phenomenal.
I got there 2 hours early because I was like, I'm going to help host. And then he would not let me anywhere near the kitchen, which is smart because
get out of the kitchen.
I would have fucked shit up real quick. But like, he's just watching that man operate. I could just watch him cook.
Let him cook
for hours. Hold up. Let him cook. I could just watch him cook for hours and be so pleased. Like it's just so cool.
Honestly,
like watching a man operate in a kitchen.
There's something fun too about keeping someone company while they're like in the kitchen.
Totally.
Like when Mr. Liz is here and he's like, can I help? And if it's like, you know, if he can help, then I'll assign him a task.
Yeah.
And he can be my sous chef. And if not, if it's something that's like really straightforward and I'm already like almost done with it, I'm like, no, but I just want you to keep me company while I do this.
Yeah,
so then
nice.
He'll pull up a chair while I'm in the kitchen and just like tell me about his day.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
See, I, my attention span is so, delicate. Having somebody else in the kitchen with me stresses me out.
Gatsby's stressing me out right now.
Yeah, Gatsby, make...
What are you doing?
Make a call, dude. Our producer's producing. Hold up, let him cook.
Let him cook. Come here, Bubba. The cats discovered a new little cubby in my closet.
That's so exciting.
They've been taking turns sleeping in there.
That's so cute.
Gatsby is the discoverer of the spots, and then Gramps always likes to go commandeer them.
That's so fucking
it's
cute.
Like having a younger sibling.
Yeah.
You know, when they're like,
it's like, you go first.
I want to go there.
Yeah,
it's mine now.
It's my turn.
Yeah. Mom.
He's not giving me a turn.
Gatsby won't let me lay in the closet. they I was on my therapy call and they started wrestling on the couch and they were like,
Meh! They like, love doing that when they think they have an audience.
Trying to listen to my therapist. You should really has a really great monologue happening right now and you're distracting me.
You should start doing like a pay-per-view for their fight nights.
Oh, I should.
Because you know how like UFC, they charge like $200 to just like watch it on television. You know, you could do, mm-hmm. I mean, I would pay to watch these cats fight. It the goes down.
It's unpredictable, you know.
Well, just keep a camera on them at all times.
And I don't think that they fight when I'm gone.
That's all know. The proof that
maybe
you need
they do
that
it when I'm here because I'm like, hey, knock it off.
Boys just do things for attention.
Speaking of boys who do things for attention.
We have a lot to talk about today, y'all.
Yeah, this was a hot topic when we were hanging out on Saturday. Or was it? No, maybe it was last night and we were texting about it.
Yeah, it was last
night. That's what it was.
Yeah, so I mean, just for some like personal involvement in this issue, I have been the victim not once, not twice, but thrice of these dudes whose entire internet presence is them being like good allies for women and like kings of consent. And
yeah, their whole platform is about like being an intersectional feminist, mm-hmm. and like being an ally to women.
Yeah.
And they, you know, become popular and make money off of that presence specifically. And then, you know, a few years later, like old videos resurface where they're like, you know, feminists like need to not make general like sweeping generalizations about men. Like, how am I supposed to know when you say men, it's not about me? So they're like the not all men men.
Yeah. But like even like that example that you're giving, and we're not going to name any names for multiple reasons
and
here,
it's pretty,
but
like this has happened a lot with yeah. different people, so it's pretty vague.
But that specific example you're yeah. talking about isn't even an old video. That was from like last month.
Oh, I thought it was from 2022.
Oh, maybe he said it again.
Oh, he could have said it twice.
Actually, you know what? He blocked me, so I was only seeing people's reposts of it. That's why I thought it was last month. So it was a year ago that he said mm-hmm. that. Okay, so it was a while ago, but
I mean, we've all seen like men like this, and then I see it happen a lot on TikTok. There's also a therapist guy who is like always talking about attachment theories and like acting out like conversations between different types of attachment people. And someone like a bunch of women were like, we went on dates and like matched with this guy and he like fucking sucks.
Yeah,
like it's just like he's weaponizing his own like knowledge
mm-hmm.
of like the inner workings of people's emotional experiences.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. And like it sucks.
It's weaponizing therapy speak too.
You see these people and you feel like you're getting like a glimpse. This is what I fell into. Like you feel like you're getting a glimpse of who they actually are because they're like so willing and open to like share things about themselves on the internet. And like,
yeah, you're like, wow, this man's values are like
so
important.
Aligned.
Yeah, they're like him even talking about this is really great for the like intersectional feminist movement. But I don't know, like when you realize it, they're not challenging toxic masculinity. They're not speaking to men. They're speaking to women. They're like, women, I'm an ally with you. And I think like that's where it gets mixed up. Like they're profiting off of appealing to women. So I don't think we've ever talked about decentralizing men from our lives. Mm-hmm. And like it's really hard to decentralize men
with society,
yeah,
being how it
like,
is.
It's just how everything is centered around men. And you need to challenge that internally a lot, and it's you'll be doing it forever for the rest of your life. But it made me realize that men also need to decenter each other from their lives, because these men who are saying that they're allies to women and they're feminists, and then they like do not feminist things, and they're not like approaching it from a like debunking and disassembling toxic masculinity.
It feels like they're doing it for like the attention.
Yes, they're doing it for the approval of women, because the approval and like admiration of women is appealing to men.
Yeah, yeah, damn.
So
it's one big
yeah, it's just like
spiral of hell,
a step up,
yeah,
you know,
totally
like, to like showing men like, look how many women like me.
Because if you look at, and they know this shit too. If you're a feminist,
women will like you.
It's, they, when you look at, conversely, when you look at these like women on TikTok that are like men's rights activists and like you look at their comment section, there's no women in there. Like, you know what? Good point. Because they're not doing it for women. They know that like they're doing it for the approval of men. And the men that are like, and like I know some male creators on, and I'm not even saying this in a not all men kind of way, because fuck that. Like, I know a lot of male creators on TikTok that are like very clearly, obviously, like good dudes, you mm-hmm. know, that are like speaking up for people that like don't have a voice, you know, including like a lot of women.
Yeah.
But there are these guys that like you can really tell that they're like treating their platform as a dating app. Like mm-hmm. they, and the guy that sparked this conversation with me and they're Liz,
like, I'm so emotionally intelligent and developed, and like if women have low standards, that's like her fault.
Yeah.
And this is from multiple like influencer men. Like there's one who's like a self-proclaimed narcissist, like not even diagnosed, he's self-diagnosed himself as a narcissist.
We can say his name.
And his whole thing is like, I was a narcissist and now I'm not.
Yeah.
I was a bad husband
and now I'm not.
And then now he preys on vulnerable women who, you know, are victims of abuse and like the emotional abuse as well of narcissistic partners.
Yeah. Yeah. His name's Robbie Harvey. This is like a conversation that's going on a lot on the internet. It's been going on for a while. I remember stuff like popping up of his like 3 months ago of people being like, but fuck this guy.
Sucks.
Like how he talks about shit is fucked. And then he'll like come back and be like, I'm still learning. You're right. I'm wrong. Like doing the whole like PR dream of an apology just to like come back and like, you know, DMs to come out of him messaging women about like his sex life with his wife and how he just like gave her the best orgasm ever. Or like videos of him like exploiting people's like stay-at-home moms.
Yeah. And he'll like market an MLM to them. Like, a narcissist isn't going to help you pay the bills. Like, here's how you can get but your own identity by signing up for this MLM. And MLMs notoriously prey on like stay-at-home moms, women who are trying to get extra income or gain independence. And they fuck over majority of these women.
Yeah.
I think it's like something like 90% of people who like invest in an MLM don't make any money. They lose money.
Yeah. There's a really good documentary that Vice did about LuLaRoe, which doesn't exist anymore.
I love the LuLaRoe documentaries.
Yeah.
I watched one on, I think it was on Amazon Prime. And that one was really good.
It truly, it runs so deep and it really shows you like what's going on and how they like really like put the magnifying glass on these people who are like very successful in the company to make it look like everyone that's doing it is so successful, when in reality there's people like you're saying that like you have to pay to like host these parties.
It's literally a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, right. It's awful. I have a lot of friends that have gotten sucked into MLMs that at the time they're like, no, it's not a pyramid scheme. It is multi-level marketing. Like, and then when they're out of it, they're
the
like
same thing.
It is, but it's more, it's like the legal way to say it, you
it's
know?
Haven't seen The Office. There's like a cold open where Michael Scott is like, no, like this guy got me and then I'm gonna like recruit you guys and then you get two more. And then he's marking it on this whiteboard and then Jim draws a triangle around it. And then Michael just stares at it and Jim walks away and he's like, fuck.
That's amazing. That's how it is. I think it's difficult to see it when you're on the inside because like mm-hmm. they're really good at selling dreams at these companies.
Yeah.
Like, well, you can like work from home and like you work from your phone and all you have to do is like if you have a couple of friends that want to get involved, like get them involved and then maybe they can get a couple of friends.
It's like low-key a little bit like the girls who are like, manifesting. I'm manifesting mm-hmm. my dreams.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, you're a white woman who already like has financial and white privilege.
Yeah.
So sure, like maybe having a positive attitude helps to an extent, but like the systemic structure we have in place is in your favor.
Right.
But to an extent, yes, having a positive attitude and like being able to recognize patterns of opportunity.
Yeah.
That is essential. Like, it's very similar to manifesting. You know, you're recognizing patterns, but they're making it seem like a wish.
Totally.
Like, I wished for this and it came true.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I've never experienced depression. I'm sorry. If you practice manifesting, that's great. And like, I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm just saying that
multi-level it has been
co-opted by
it really has.
A group who doesn't like really understand it.
Everything good in this world gets co-opted by people that don't understand it.
Yeah, it's usually white people. I'll just say it.
Absolutely.
As a white person.
Absolutely.
And that's why we co-opted podcasting from white men. You're welcome.
I don't want to call us heroes, but
I know everybody just like wants like another white person's perspective on especially anything.
Yeah, white women talking about sex dating. You're welcome.
Ladies, here's how you can suck a dick.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'd be like those guys in the comments on all of our TikToks, like, not everyone should have a podcast. Why is there always like five guys that say that? Is that like
because they don't know any other line?
Not everyone. They're all just like NPCs with like three lines.
Yeah.
Not everyone should have a podcast.
It's like when you go up to them, they're like,
yeah, they like start running into the wall. Wow, a bunch of twos talking about sex. This is me being an NPC.
Yeah, I'm getting fucked and you're not. So yeah. Maybe you should listen.
Right. Your mom loves it.
And I'll fuck your mom. And I will.
I'm your daddy now.
Keith.
I just felt like one of the guys' names would have been Keith. But anyway.
Imagine a baby named Keith.
No, this is
I think we've talked about this.
Yes. The name specifically, and I'm so sorry if you have this name, but there's something every single time I think about somebody looking their newborn baby in the eyes and naming it Seth is fucking hilarious to me.
Baby Seth.
Like, oh my God, that's a beautiful...
I've never had a baby name, Seth.
What's your... They're none of them are babies. They all come out as like 12-year-olds with mohawks.
Yeah.
Frosted tip mohawks.
If you are a man and you want to align yourself with intersectional feminism, like sincerely, then you need to focus on like calling out toxic masculinity and dismantling toxic masculinity and patriarchal masculinity versus like telling women that you agree with them.
Yeah.
Because that's what accountability is. Like you can say you agree with anybody and then everyone will clap. It's a high reward,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Rather than showing up and doing the work.
Totally. which
like,
is
you can
thankless.
Say all day like that you agree with women and like one of the examples, Laura Danger is amazing at like finding these guys and like holding them accountable. Like one guy who is a well-known like TikToker was like, here's how you can like make your girl's life easier, like do your laundry and clean up after yourself. And she's like, that is only helping her if it was a problem, if she was doing it for you to begin with.
Yeah.
And you're an adult. You shouldn't, like, helping someone isn't doing shit you should already be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a great point. But, like, that's what we mean when it's, like, you're not showing up for the girls by being like, look, ladies, I cleaned up after myself. And like some of the comments are like, well, that's way more than other men do. And it's like,
that's the fucking point.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a video of somebody saying like that he like cooked this woman like her favorite his girlfriend, her favorite dinner. And like put on like made the corner of their house into like a movie theater and like put up a projector and like made all these like desserts and everything. And the comment section were like, yeah, that's the bare minimum. And it started this whole firestorm with men being like, if that's the bare minimum, like what the fuck? Like he did so much. And it's like you don't hear
that's
about like she
so
might
much.
She might have to be the one cleaning all of that up. It's really not that much. It's performative if you're doing it a time and then being a dick the rest of the time. Like there are so many things that like, and that's the whole crux of the issue is like the performative aspect of being like, look, I'm a good guy, and then like trying to like ending it there and just like, you know, having it in a vacuum of one night and then using that as an argument point for like,
but I did weeks. That thing.
That's exactly, that's how the guest was with me. He did one good thing and the rest of the shit that he did was like, he would be like, but remember that thing? And it's like, you don't, that is the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute and like, thank you for doing that. But like, it can't stop there.
And then anytime, he would always try and like, discredit your feelings mm-hmm. by like, when you had a legitimate concern and you came with a solution.
Yep.
As well.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, when you did this thing, it was really upsetting and I asked you specifically to not do that. Like,
mm-hmm.
what the fuck? And then he'd be like, well, I've been not saying like how I was something that pissed me off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're not doing either of you a favor by keeping
right.
like harboring resentment towards somebody.
Right.
I was also just thinking like Laura Danger also said something like, men, like your male partner should enrich your life. And I think that is a great way of explaining it. Like, I don't care who your partner is. You should be enriching each other's lives.
Yes.
And like something like that movie example or whatever, like that's something Mr. Liz would do just on like a regular night.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And I like just noticing the things that your partner cares about isn't hard if you actually care about them.
Yeah.
And like you want to make them happy because making them happy brings you joy.
Right.
That is love.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, that's a good
just
that's
in naturally enriching each other's lives because you just care about each other.
Yep.
And it brings you joy to see them happy.
That's the bare minimum.
Yes. It yeah. really it is.
Yeah.
Like that's like, what Frank does.
Absolutely. And like so it, he never does it in a way that makes me feel like it's like
you inconveniencing better thank me for this.
Yeah. And whenever I'll like thank him, you know what he did? He bought
Oh, he texted me after I was a guest and he was like, "Thank you so much for coming over and hanging out with us." I was like, "Thank you for having me as a guest and making dinner."
Oh, God,
it was phenomenal.
He's so special. But he like makes single cups of coffee. He has a scale. He's very serious about his coffee, but he has to do one cup at a time.
I love that. That's so men.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just so funny. He's
Mr. Liz is the same way. He's
yeah.
got his like fancy ass coffee maker and a grinder that's like special.
I saw these coffee filters sitting on his table for Chemex and we were in the middle of a conversation. I just like looked at them. I like glanced at them. He's like, oh, I bought this so we could both drink coffee at the same time in the morning.
That's so cute.
And I started crying. I was like, this is the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Having
like,
coffee with your partner in the morning too is so.
It's such a love language.
It really is. Like when Mr. Liz, I know he has a busy day, like he'll stay the night on a work night and then he bikes to work because he's a crazy person.
Good Lord.
I'm like, good for you. Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
Couldn't be. Especially in Seattle, it's like the worst drivers. It's like not bike friendly. I just get anxiety thinking about him biking around the city because
there are bad drivers everywhere.
Yeah, you're just like, oh my, if you die, I'm gonna bring you back to life and murder you for
dying,
being riding your bike.
Yeah.
Anyways,
seriously,
like he'll, like one of us will make coffee, so it's usually him because he'll wake up before me, and he'll like surprise me and bring me coffee, and then he'll get back in bed, and then we'll have coffee together for a few minutes before he has to leave.
Coffee in bed is like, that is the best fucking thing in the world.
It's such a good way to start the day.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, someone is considering me.
Okay, and this is exactly my fucking point, too, is like, these dudes think that we want these, like, big grandiose things, which is so nice. Yeah. It really is. The grandiose gestures are so nice. But the little things, like buying Chemex filters so we can drink coffee together and bringing you coffee in bed in the morning, that's like, that's all we want. You know, I mean, I don't want to speak for every woman, but every woman I've talked to is like, it's the little shit, you know, like,
yeah, the big gestures are appreciated, you know,
totally.
They're
absolutely
lovely, but they're not like something that's expected all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like the little things where someone else is noticing what brings you joy.
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't like come bring me coffee because he's like trying to be applauded for it.
Right.
It's because he wants to.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes doing it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love good men.
Me too.
Dude, I'm feeling so fucking emotional. I'm PMSing today, y'all, and I have just been such a wreck. I've been crying at like happy shit.
I was telling someone the other day how like if I'm catastrophizing and like really emotional and I'm like texting you about it, you're like, I mean, you did mention, like, maybe you're about to start your period. Do you think that maybe you're going to get your period tomorrow? And then I do. And then I'm like, wow, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
My PMS has gotten so bad.
Dude.
Like, emotionally.
I wonder why. I wonder what's going on. It's a diet thing?
That's a great question.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Oh, this is weird. Okay. I think this is relevant since we're talking about periods. I started spotting the day I ovulated, like the other day. And it was like kind of a lot. It wasn't just like a light little spotting. It was like a surprising amount of like blood clots. And it was like blackish brown. And I was like looking it up and I was like, I haven't like spotted. And then it's like,
are you stressed?
That but they were like, there might be a blockage.
What?
Well, because when the blood is really dark, that means it's old blood that's been in your body. So I'm like, oh, maybe it just like didn't all get out during my period.
Yeah,
because that's like the time where like more things are cleaning,
things
out.
Are moving.
Yeah but it was very bizarre. And it's pretty rare. Like it's like sort of common to bleed during ovulation, but
that's also a pregnancy symptom.
Exactly.
So how the fuck are we supposed to know?
Breakthrough bleeding. I was like, well, I'm definitely not pregnant.
See, like I might be. I mean, I have an IUD.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have an IUD.
I have an IUD,
and that is
but we don't really
a pretty high success rate in terms of avoiding unwanted pregnancy. Because she has the hormonal IUD.
Yeah.
I know that the copper IUD is a gamble a little bit.
Oh God, that shit is big.
It's scary.
Seeing it next to like a Mirena or a Skyla, I'm like, that goes inside of a person's, like, what?
And they're conscious for it. I, like, want an IUD, but I, like, don't want to be around for it, you know?
Yeah, you want them to, like, knock you out.
Yeah, and I also don't want to have to deal with, like, the pain afterwards.
Heard.
God.
Yeah, it's a rough day once you get it in.
I think I know I've talked about this. The one time I did have an IUD for, like, a year and a half, I went to work afterwards, and I was fighting for my life.
On your feet, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I worked in retail, so yeah. I'm on Ridiculous. My feet. I just straight up brought a stool out and sat at the register. I was like, I cannot walk right now. And luckily, I arranged for someone to drive me. That would have been so terrible.
They don't tell you that shit.
No.
Not a lot of the time. My gynecologist.
Take the day off.
My ex-boyfriend came with me to put my last one in, which was really nice because I, like, needed a hand to hold. And then he, like, brought me balloons at home. It was really sweet. It was really sweet. But
it's not a girl or a boy.
Yeah. We're not pregnant. But yeah, no, he, like, that gynecologist, like, gave me everything I needed to know. He's like, take something before, but not ibuprofen because it'll thin your blood. Like, take, like, Tylenol and then have somebody drive you.
Tylenol is not enough.
We're going to give you, like, a diaper because you're probably going to be bleeding so much. Like, having somebody walk you through all of it and everything you need to know is so nice.
A traumatizing thing to do to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, men will, like, go under anesthesia for a vasectomy. And
will they?
Yes. And it's also, like, not nearly, it's just because they don't want to be conscious during it, which is fine, but it's, like, not nearly as painful as a colposcopy or the surgery I had, which I can't remember the name of right now.
Leap.
Oh, yeah, the leap procedure. Like, people are conscious for the leap procedure, and it is so painful.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You've never had a colposcopy, but that's Mm-mm. when they take, like, a biopsy of your cervix. Like, yeah, that was no really fucking painful. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, if people are going to be unconscious for a vasectomy, like, why aren't we offering that for IUD insertion? Why aren't we offering local anesthesia for IUD insertion? You can also ask for a cervical guard. Why aren't we automatically doing that?
That's crazy.
The minimization of women's pain is bananas
yeah.
to me.
It absolutely is.
Like,
there, it's
what?
That with how, like, mammograms are, too.
Yes.
Like, putting your boob between.
They squish it.
Like, really. And I swear, if, like, cis men had to get mammograms.
On their ball sack?
On their ball sack, they would figure out, like, oh, we're actually just going to, like, we're going to put on some spa music and. Give you a soft pillow, but now we gotta sit in between, like, a hydraulic press to make sure we don't have breast cancer.
So stressful even just thinking about, like, what it doesn't need to be like this, so why are we making it like this?
Right.
Why?
Because we don't matter, Liz.
Oh, do we need to talk about Barbie?
Do we need to talk about Barbie?
I think we need to talk about Barbie.
We absolutely
Barbie's
need to.
A moment. And we won't give any spoilers at all. I had no idea what to expect when I went to see Barbie. I didn't watch any trailers.
What?
I watched a couple, but, like, I didn't watch anything or read anything that said, like, what the premise of the plot was, other than, you know, Barbie can end up in the real world. And that's, like, the maximum I knew. And I was like, oh, they're going to get into some shenanigans. But... It is so much deeper than that.
It's so fucking incredible. They did.
Maybe we need to revisit Barbie when it has been a little bit more, like, people have had more opportunities to see it.
Yeah. But our conversation about it will be this. See it.
Yeah.
I think everybody should, everybody of every gender, of every walk of life needs to see this movie for so many reasons.
You know what? Let's have a Barbie episode where we just talk about
I love that idea
all of the lessons and, like, analyzing the Barbie movie and how it's showing up culturally.
That's a great idea.
I think you mentioned this to me that like the Eras Tour and Barbie, like all of these things happening at the same time that are like focused on reaching women and empowering women. It's not a coincidence.
No. Like, we're healing. We're all, like, trading friendship bracelets in the parking lot of the Taylor Swift concert and wearing, like, pink to go watch the Barbie movie and, like, yeah. saying hi, Barbie, to each other. And it's just, like, all happening at the same time.
When I went out to dinner last night, one of the girls I was with had, she had just seen Barbie. And, like, there were, like, this group of, like mid 20 girls or something wearing all pink walking out, and she was like, hi Barbie.
Oh.
It was so cute. And then last night when I was walking in from getting home, it was obvious that like the building manager and her kids live here, and she had just taken her daughter to see the Barbie movie because her daughter was like all in like pink, and then they were singing the Barbie song.
Oh.
I was just like
my mom and dad just saw it.
It is such a good movie. And people keep talking about how there's going to be so many Barbie costumes
mm-hmm.
on Halloween, and we need to fucking make it happen, guys. We need to be dressed as Barbie.
Yeah. And like there's that I think you sent me the TikTok of the girl talking about like, I like wanted to be like this iconic Barbie look. And then I realized
like everyone's going to be dressed as Barbie.
But that's amazing. That's the point. Like we can all be Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me want to cry. I love it so much.
It's just a reminder of like, we need to continue being allies to each other.
Mm-hmm. Greta Gerwig for president. Her husband co-wrote it.
That's amazing.
I didn't realize that they're married. I kept seeing his name pop up.
Yeah. I keep thinking partner. About how like married. The men who are mad about Barbie. I'm like, you're leaning into the stereotype.
No, I know.
And you don't even realize it.
Their two brain cells are busy bumping around in their brains and into each other. Yeah.
Explosion.
To like totally understand.
Oppenheimer is very good. I will say that.
There was in that video, I haven't watched the Ben Shapiro video because if I have to, I think that there's like a special realm of hell that is just listening to Ben Shapiro for 45 minutes. But I
did Frank's saw friend a little, say she said she watched it, right?
Yeah, she watched it.
She was like, it was hilarious.
But there's a clip of it where he's talking about Ken getting like was like a secondary character and he accidentally said Ben. And you know in that moment, that Freudian slip, he feels threatened himself, you know? It's like, people are like, no, it's because like he might have been saying Barbie and like, no, it was a Freudian slip. This man feels inferior and he feels like his masculinity has been tested by this movie.
The movie's called Barbie.
It's literally, you know, I have
also,
this.
Also, it's for like, it's not catered to a male perspective.
No, but that's so, the whole thing is like
he can't process something is not being made for him.
Right, there's something that's not being made for him that he needs to see.
Twice as much money as Oppenheimer.
Oh my god, it's so
fucking
incredible. It
outsold Oppenheimer.
Okay, I have an Am I the Asshole to read you. Are you ready?
Yes. I was born ready.
The subject on this is, am I the asshole for calling out my friend after she judged me for having kids? It's important to remember that title.
Am I the asshole for calling out my friend after she judged me for having kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Am I the asshole for calling out my friend and, quote unquote, humiliating her? I, 36 male, recently started dating again and told my friends that I was finally putting myself out there and wanted to settle down again. I asked a few of them to look over my profile, and one, 28 female, let's call her Sally, told me that I should disclose that I have two kids from a previous marriage. I thought this was a wildly inappropriate thing to say to me. I asked her how she believed that was relevant, and she tried justifying her position by saying things like, it's only right to be upfront with any women I date. I told her to worry about her own dating life, seeing as she's not close to being married herself, and that if a woman rejects me on the basis of having kids, then she was shallow anyway and I dodged a bullet. Also, would like to add that I of course intend to bring up my kids to any future spouse, but not until we've been dating for at least a year, because I don't want to let someone know about my children and see them until they've proven themselves to me. Can you fucking stand it?
I've read this and he's a fucking dipshit.
He also never used her name again. So like that was an annoying thing. They're like, we're just going to call her Sally. Like he's just
like, why did you?
Right. Why do we need to name her? That just feels like a little like patronizing in a way. I don't know why. But yeah. Like, can you imagine being married? Not being married. Seeing someone for a year.
Yeah, and then they're like, surprise, I have kids. I would be like, this changes our entire relationship.
Yeah, and it's like...
Well, and then having to plan around that, it's a secret at that point.
Right, I mean, like...
I'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Shouldn't you know early on if somebody's going to leave you for having kids? Like, shouldn't you want to tell them? Shouldn't you want them to know so that you know if, like, they're...
After they've proven themselves. How are you proving yourself?
Right.
Like, it... I think it... You should know. You should yeah. be told if someone has kids. And I wonder if he's coming from the perspective of he judges women who have kids.
Oh, absolutely.
From a previous marriage.
Yeah, it's misplaced.
Because he's like, well, I don't want to date someone who has kids from a previous marriage.
Yeah.
And like being like, oh, well, if I keep it a secret until they're in love with me and committed.
Yeah.
Then it'll they'll just have to be okay with it.
Totally.
Like, yeah. What?
Yeah. It's giving, like, I can't do anything wrong. And, like, she's going to have to adjust her life to fit mine. Because truly...
No wonder he's fucking single.
If I...
No wonder you've been divorced, my guy.
If I found out... Even now, I'm, what, 5 months into dating Frank, and I found out that he had kids, I would go, like, nuclear.
Yeah, that should be something that is, like... First or second date information.
Absolutely. Like
second date, sure. Okay, I understand why maybe. But like Sally is saying, this is something that should be on your dating profile.
What all of those dating profiles that are like, I don't want any single mom. Like a lot of single moms will be like, okay, like that's good for me to know. You know? Like also, that's why I disclose like, it.
Yeah, just swipe left. You don't need to be a fucking dickhead about it.
Yeah, and I think honestly I think he's just ashamed that he has kids. Like imagine
you're a 36 year old divorced man. No one's gonna be surprised if you have kids.
No. And also like if I was his child and I was like, yeah, dating this woman for a fucking year and I'm just now finding out about her, because like it probably goes the other way too. He's probably not mm-hmm. telling his kids about her if like, you know,
how would you maintain this secret, like realistically? How would you, it would be so much effort to maintain this secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to plan for childcare, unless he's like a deadbeat dad and he's like not doing anything with his kids and honestly, doesn't have custody.
That might be it. That might be why he's also like flying off the handlebars.
He's embarrassed, yeah, because he's a deadbeat.
Yeah, he doesn't have custody. And so like, yeah, he doesn't want to explain that to anyone he's dating.
Yeah, that is something you should know. Up front.
Yeah.
And it's also not that big of a deal.
No.
Yeah. Oh, to circle back to like all the things you'd have to plan. You'd have to plan for childcare.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be able to go back to your house.
Right.
Like you'd have to be very strategic about planning all of that. It's like the effort that goes into a lie and maintaining that lie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. My guy, just tell the truth and then put all of that effort towards building a meaningful relationship.
Yeah, but you know, like some people would do anything to not have to face reality.
It's like the people who are really good at scamming people out of money.
Mm.
It's like, why you could have put the same amount of effort into actually doing the thing instead of like being a fraud.
Yeah.
And you would be just as successful.
Right. And like not a shitty person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true. Whenever I see all these like very extensive like scamming schemes, I'm like, this is impressive what you've set up here. Use it and be honest. You know,
yeah, like it's not that much more difficult to like actually do the thing uh-huh. instead of just like right. pretend you're doing the thing. And getting other people's money invested and involved. It's
telling a lie is so much fucking work. Like you have
it really is.
You have to like there's so much planning and memory that has to go into maintaining a lie. And not telling someone about your children is lying by omission. So yeah. That's a lie. Anyway, everyone agreed he was the asshole. He ended up deleting his account.
He should delete himself.
Jesus.
Delete, I guess, delete whatever personality he's fucking created.
Yeah, do
right
a hard reset on that, man.
Just remove yourself from the dating pool.
Factory reset.
Yeah, this might be a slightly shorter episode. I think it'll still be like 50 minutes.
Yeah. Well, this zoomed by, Liz.
Yeah,
Ball.
It really did. It did zoom by. Gatsby has been in and out of my lap at least three times.
He's such a, Gramps is being such a good little boy over
he
there
really
on his.
Is. Aww,
bless his heart. Nap. Bless his heart.
Tired from meowing in all of my meetings today.
And exhausting. He was a hard worker today. Anyway. Shall we?
Yeah.
We've been hearing from y'all and you like the songs.
Yeah. I'm really happy to hear that, to be honest.
I am ecstatic to hear it because I wasn't going to stop anyway. So I'm glad that you like it.
Knowing that it's loved. Someone was like, it's my reward for listening.
It's my reward for talking for an hour. Uh-huh. I'm like, I get to fucking sing off key.
Yeehaw. Oh my God.
Sign me all the way up. All right. Well, we
love you, our children. Ooh. We got that.
I harmonized today.
Yeah, that was
wow. We really were switching it up. We're celebrating.
I've not been good at harmonizing lately.
Well, I don't give you good notes to work with, in your defense.